All right. If you have your Bibles, you'll want to get them out this morning. We've been looking through, or kicked off last week, a sermon series entitled Reboot. All systems are go. And this morning, let me see here. Turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to move around just a couple of times this morning, but for the most part, you can just hang right there. I've got a couple of stories I want to read to you this morning out of the Scriptures. When we think about the fact that all systems are go for so many of us, one of the things that we talked about, or I'd mentioned on Wednesday night talking to that group getting ready for Sunday, we talked last week about renewing our hearts, how significant that is, that God looks on the inside while we look at the outside, and the fact that God can change us, but God changes us from the inside. For us, we try to change, but we want to change the outside because that's what everybody sees. But the real key is to change from the inside out, not the outside in. We know that for each of us, when we think about the kind of the subtitle of the sermon series, that all systems are go. It's significant to have all of the systems working in the right way so that all of those systems are working together, because if we have most of them or some of them, we get in trouble. And there's probably no greater example of that than some of our NASA missions. If you look back at some of the Apollo missions and some of the things where all of the systems or most of the systems were good, but there was one thing that was off. During my lifetime, during my generation, for those of you that kind of fall in that group, we get to see it with the space shuttles. Whether it was the Space Shuttle Challenger, I remember as a senior in high school, that was a defining event for my generation. I remember in 2003, I believe it was the Space Shuttle Columbia that exploded upon re-entry into the atmosphere over Texas and Louisiana. But the key to it was most all of the systems of the Challenger or the Apollo or the Space Shuttle Discovery, most of the systems were working, but there was one that was just a problem, and it turned out to be tragic. I think it's that same way for us when we think about the systems of our lives. And we talked about last week that for each of us, we got to get our hearts right. We're going to look at the second system this morning, and we're going to look at rebooting our minds. When we think about the idea of just turning a computer off and letting it reboot itself, it's amazing how many times that fixes the issue with whatever you have with your computer. So we think of that. If in our minds we have the ability to bring about both good and bad. I was just reading this week a story I thought was kind of humorous. I read a story about a redneck that was stopped by a game warden in the South recently. And when the game warden pulled him over, he had two ice chests full of fish. The game warden asked him how he ended up with that many fish and did he have a license to catch that fish. And he said, "I ain't got none of them there licenses. These here are my pet fish." The game warden said, "Your pet fish?" And he said, "Yeah. Every night I take these here fish down to the lake and I turn them loose and I let them swim around for a while. And then when I whistle, they jump back into this ice chest and I take them home." The game warden thought, "That sounds ridiculous to me. I don't really believe that, and I don't think fish can even do that." And the redneck looked at the game warden and said, "No, it's the truth, Mr. Government Man." He said, "I'll show you how it really works." The redneck took his ice chest back down to the water, and the game warden said, "Okay, I've just got to see this." The redneck poured the fish into the lake, and he stood there just a little bit, and he just stood there, and he stood there, and all at once the game warden said, "Well..." And he said, "Well, what?" And he said, "Are you going to whistle about the fish?" And he said, "What fish?" Some of you will get that about 3 this afternoon. Our minds work really quick. It's amazing when we get into high-pressure situations or there's a little tension going on in life. It's amazing how fast our minds work and can really slow things down. The only problem is if our minds start working as fast as our situation, if you're anything like me, a lot of times it leads me in the wrong direction. Even as we sing that last song, we don't use some of the language that was used in that last song in our common everyday language. Prone to wonder. Is that not true of each of us? We have a tendency, we are prone to wander. We have a tendency to move away from the things of the Lord. Our mind has a tendency to lead us in the wrong direction. I would say this to you this morning. When I think about our minds, two comments or two statements that I've read and heard at different times that stick in my mind, and I want to ask you this. This morning, you have the option, as I talk about rebooting your mind and we read about the scriptures, you have the option this morning for your mind to be like a parachute or for your mind to be like concrete. Our minds work best when they're like a parachute, when they're open. The problem is many of our minds are like concrete. They're thoroughly mixed up and they're set hard. This morning, I encourage you, let your mind be like a parachute. Open it to what God would have for you and what God would have for you to know. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41 says, "On that day when evening had come, Jesus told them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the sea.' So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was already in the boat and the other boats were with him. A fierce windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, so they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?' He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Silence, be still.' The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, 'Why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified and asked one another, 'Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him.'" When we think about rebooting our mind, when it comes to rebooting our minds, number one, I'd say to you this, think about what you know. You see, for most of us, we need to understand that focusing on the unknown leads to fear. Jesus says, "Do you not have faith?" For most of us, when we start focusing on the unknown, when something happens in our lives, if your mind is like mine, mine goes south. I get all worried about all of the what ifs. What if this? And what if that? And all of a sudden I lose focus and I begin to think fear. And fear begins to take over. And most of us don't make good decisions when we're operating out of the emotion of fear. But for us, if we'll operate out of faith, it makes all the difference in the world to us. Now, usually when we teach this or preach this as a Sunday school lesson or as a sermon, or we think about it in different places and different areas of life, we usually bring the subject of the matter that when you're in a storm, go to Jesus. When things aren't working like you really think they should, go to Jesus. Certainly that's a valuable point that comes out of this. Sometimes what we teach when we read this particular verses of Scripture is that God's in control. No worries about what's going on in your life. Wind or waves, trust the Lord. God is in control of everything. But I want you to catch something a little bit different this morning. When I think about the idea that focusing on the unknown leads to fear, but listening to Jesus leads to faith. It's interesting. I think there's a really key phrase in all of these verses that all of us need to be reminded of when we reboot our minds. It's in verse 35. It says, "On that day when evening came, Jesus told them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the sea.'" That's pretty simple, but one that we often read right over. You see, what if Jesus had said to them, "Hey guys, won't y'all get in that boat? We're going to encounter a huge storm on our way to the other side." Most of them were fishermen. They'd have probably said, "Hey, I'll pass." If Jesus had said to them, "Hey guys, let's go for a boat ride." If they would have gotten in the boat and then encountered the storm, they would have felt like the Lord had misled them. And next time he said, "Let's go for a boat ride," they would have said, "I think I'll pass." But what he said was, "Let's cross over to the other side." You see, Jesus told them what was going to happen. It didn't matter that they were going to encounter a storm on the way. Jesus had already said, "Hey guys, come and go with me. I'm going to the other side." He wasn't focused on the storm. He had made them a promise in a roundabout way that, guys, come get in the boat. We're going to the other side. I wonder for us how many promises the Lord gives us that we forget. You see, I think when the storm hit and Jesus was down below and Jesus was asleep, I think they forgot that Jesus said, guys, let's go to the other side. Jesus didn't say, hey, guys, let's go on a boat ride and we'll come back. Jesus didn't say, hey, let's go play or let's go have dinner. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They forgot what Jesus had told them. I wonder how many times we forget the things that Jesus has told us. I wonder how many times we forget what the Scriptures say in Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. I wonder how many times we forget what the Scriptures say in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I wonder what we forget about Isaiah chapter 40, that the Scriptures say He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. But those who trust in the Lord will find strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Romans chapter 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither life nor death, neither height nor depth, neither angel nor demons, that there is nothing in the heavens or in the earth that can separate us from the love of Jesus. What about in Romans chapter 10 when the Scriptures say, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. What about Luke chapter 18 when the Scriptures say, things are impossible with men, but all things are possible with God. Ezekiel 36, where God says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. Psalm chapter 103, where the Scriptures say, as far as the east is from the west, your sins will be forgiven. What about Philippians chapter 4, where the Scriptures say, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. What about James chapter 1 when the Scriptures say, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God and it will be given. You see, God gives us promise after promise after promise after promise. And I would guess that the vast majority of you this morning, I did not read one verse or talk about one verse that you went, I've never heard that verse before in my life. But so many times we're like the disciples. When we get in a storm of life, we forget all of God's promises. We forget when we pray. I'm amazed at the people who ask me to pray about things, and when they're explaining to me about what they want to pray for, they all but tell me, hey, I want you to pray about it, but I don't expect anything to happen because this is a big prayer request. Hey, we forget that the Scriptures say, with man, things are limited, but with God, all things are possible. We forget the promises that are in the Scriptures, just like the disciples, when they missed the little phrase at the beginning that Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. When it comes to rebooting our minds, we need to think about what we know. When it comes to rebooting our minds, we need to think Jesus. And in the next set of verses, it's a pretty long set of verses, but I want to read you a story. Right on down in Mark chapter 5, it says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. As soon as he got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him. He lived in the tombs. No one was able to restrain him anymore, even with chains, because he often had been bound with shackles and chains, but had snapped off the chains and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him, and always, night and day, he was crying out among the tombs and in the mountains and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt before him, and he cried out with a loud voice, what do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, before God, don't torment me. For he had told him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. What is your name? Jesus asked him. My name is Legion, he answered him, because we are many. And he kept begging him not to send him out of the region. Now a large herd of pigs was there feeding on the hillside, and the demon begged him, send us into the pigs so that we may enter them. And Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd of about 2,000 rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned there. The men who tended them ran off and reported it to the town and the countryside, and the people went to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed by the legion sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. The eyewitnesses described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs, and then they began to beg him to leave their region. You see, I think it's fascinating when we think about the things that we know that we often forget, but when we get in those storms, we got to thank Jesus. It's interesting in verse 6 that it says, when he saw Jesus, from a distance he ran and knelt before him. Now, I think that's fascinating for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's fascinating because when he saw Jesus, from a distance he ran and knelt before him. That's not exactly what I would expect a demon-possessed person to do. I would expect a demon-possessed person to run from Jesus, not to Jesus. But I think there's a lesson in there for all of us. You need to know that you can be close to Jesus and still serving the devil. You can be close to Jesus and doing the devil's work. But I think it's fascinating that a demon-possessed man, his first inclination, his first response was to run to Jesus. But look what it says in verse 15. It says, they came to Jesus and saw the man who had been demon-possessed by the legion sitting there and in his right mind. This story is a great example that for each of us, we can only serve one master. This story is a great example for us that in every situation, we either let God have control of our mind or we let Satan have control of our mind. Now, as I was studying and reading this week, one of the statements that I read I thought was great. And it may have been the simplest thing that I've read the entire week in preparing for the sermon. But it just stuck in my mind. And the instant I read it, I thought, that is so true, but it's so simple, and I never thought of it before. When we think of the fact that in every situation, our mind can only think God or can only think Satan. Here's what the statement was. You can only think one thing at a time. We live in a world where we do numerous things. We are multitaskers. We drive, eat, drink, talk on the phone, and text all at the same time. You think about the things that we do multitasking. And while we are multitaskers, we are not multi-thinkers. You can only think one thing at a time. That's why it's so important that we understand to reboot our minds, not only on a regular basis, but on a daily basis, and sometimes on an hourly basis. Knowing that we can only think one thing at a time, listen to these verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5, it says, for though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Taking every thought captive. Every thought we get, one at a time. Remember, we can't get three or four thoughts at a time. We can only get one at a time. And the scriptures say that for us to reboot our minds to think Jesus, we must take every thought captive and think God every time, in every situation, in every instance. Because not only will we be thinking right, but because of the fact that we cannot multi-think, you cannot think right and think wrong at the same time. You cannot think God and Satan at the same time. And not only when we think God are we thinking right, but we automatically make the wrong null, void, and impossible because we can only think one thing at a time. Before we do anything we think, the things that God wouldn't want us to do, we have to think them before we do them. Probably your mind is like mine. When I said a while ago how fast our minds think, when the pressure's on, it's amazing how fast our mind thinks. Just like a car wreck, it happens so fast. But when it's over, you go back and the pictures in your mind, you can slow it way down. When things aren't going our way in life, as I said with the kiddos this morning, when we're angry, we usually think what we would like to do. And at that moment, we have to think the right, and typically we think the wrong, and then we have to instantly decide which one are we going to do. But our minds work that fast. Think God. Think Jesus. When I think of rebooting our minds, we got to think about what you know, what you've been promised, what the Scriptures tell us. When it comes to rebooting our minds, we also must think Jesus. But number three, when it comes to rebooting our minds, we must think positive. The Scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, by the rebooting of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." You see, last week we started off with this idea that we need to reboot our hearts first, because God looks on the inside, and because when change really happens, change happens from the inside out, not from the outside in. And we talked about that we need to start with our hearts, because our hearts lead us to be like the devil. They just do. Remember the verse we talked about last week in Jeremiah chapter 17 that said, above all else, our hearts are evil. Our hearts are wicked. Now, none of us like to naturally think that's the tendency for our hearts, and we certainly don't want anyone else to think that of us, but the fact is, that's what the Scriptures say. It's the truth for each one of us. We must start with our hearts, because they lead us to be like Satan. But we must follow with our minds, because our minds lead us to be like the world. I think it's interesting that the Scriptures say, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, the thing that draws us to be like the world is our mind. The thing that draws us to be like Satan and do what he would have us to do is our heart. It's naturally wicked. So we've got to have a new heart to be like God, and we've got to have a new mind to not be like the world, because we have a natural tendency, a prone, if you will, like the song said, to move towards the world. Would it be a new thing for you to think positive in every situation? Would that be a new thing for you to think God every time? It's amazing how many of you I see out there with smiles or smirks or nods. That would be a new thing for all of us, to think God every time, to think positive every time. Listen to what the Scriptures say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence..." By the way, is there a such thing as moral excellence? Yes, there is. "If there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise..." Is there such a thing as praise? Yes, there is. It says, "If there's any moral excellence, and if there's any praise, then dwell on these things." You see, here's the hard part. Most of us love the idea of whatever is true and whatever is honorable and whatever is just and whatever is pure and whatever is lovely and whatever is commendable. We love those things. The problem is, sometimes we think just and sometimes we think love and sometimes we think honorable and sometimes we think commendable, but the Scriptures say dwell on those things. You go there and stay. You see, most of us come and go about just and true and pure and honorable and lovely and commendable. We're kind of one foot in, one foot out, one foot in, one foot out. But the Scriptures don't say come and go from these things. The Scriptures say dwell there. That's why it's so important that you're involved in church and that you're faithful in church. That's why it's so important that you have Christian friends that you can spend time with and talk with. That's why it's so important that you have a quiet time, time that you spend reading the Bible and in prayer every day. Because all of those things encourage us to dwell. All of those things hold us closer to the Lord. There are times during the day, let's be honest, you would be in better shape and you would respond different if I were with you. I'm amazed at the way people act differently when the preacher's around. For one, because I know me. And I'm not as perfect as you think I am. But what's really fascinating to me is when people say, oh, hey, the preacher's here. Hey, I was born in the night, but it wasn't last night. And even though you make a joke about it, I know what you're saying. But what's fascinating is, do you not realize God was there before I got there? God was already there. It's not like God said, oh, I'm going to send Randy if you don't straighten up. But you know what I find? Is that's true for a lot of us in circumstances. You see, it's not just me because I'm the preacher. Some of you would act totally different in the situations you're in if Tanya were there too. You would act different if Christy were there. You would act different if Milton was there. You would act different if Chris was there. That's why it's important that we spend time around each other, because let's be honest, we're all better when we're with each other. That's why it's so important. That's why it's important that we gather together and encourage each other. You see, really, when we get down to it, reboot means to set back to the original system of operations. Now, most of us, when we think about rebooting our mind, we think that means to go back to where our mind was maybe when we were born, or maybe when we were young, or maybe when we were saved, or maybe before that happened, or before I did that. I need to go back to the time before that happened to me to reboot my mind. And I would tell you that all of those are false. What it means to reboot our mind is to go back to how Adam and Eve were before Genesis chapter 3, when the scriptures say that God walked in the garden with them. You see, it's not about back when you were young, or back before you made this decision, or back before this happened to you. It's to go back to where God created us and our minds were in sync with His mind. That's the mind that we want to have. That's the reboot that we want to go back to. Would you like to have that kind of mind? Would you like to have a mind like Adam and Eve had, that was synced with the Lord? Would you like to have a mind like they had before sin entered into our world? Are you off track this morning in your thoughts? Maybe in how you handle parenting, or how you handle finances, or how you handle your commitment to the Lord. Do you have a place where you need to trust God more? Do you have a place that you need to trust the promises of God instead of the influences of the devil? Do you have a place where you need to trust God? Where you need to think Jesus rather than think you. You can handle it. You got it. You see, the fact is, rebooting our minds, it's just not human stuff. That's God stuff. Rebooting our minds requires change from the inside, and that is God stuff. Is that you this morning? Where are your thoughts? Where are your fears? Where is your faith? I want to do something a little different like we did last Sunday. If that's you this morning, that you say, hey, I just need to reboot my mind, I'd like you to get up and come down here to the front. Now, come on. That's you. If God has spoken to you this morning and you say, hey, that's me, I got to get my mind where it needs to be. It's critical. Remember, it's our heart that leads us to be like Satan. But it's our mind that leads us to be like the world. Anybody else? All I'm going to do is pray for you. That's it. And then I'm going to let you go right back to your seat. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to ask you to fill out anything. I'm not going to ask you to give a testimony. I just want to pray for you. Anybody else? You see, I believe when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Anybody else? A renewing of your mind this morning? Will you join me in praying for this crew? Will you pray for them as I pray for them? We still have a few that are coming. If that's you, come on down. Don't miss out. Good, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the faithfulness of this group. Lord, I know it's uncomfortable any time to stand up and come down in front of a group. But Lord, I thank you for their courage this morning to say that they need a renewing of the mind. Lord, truth be known, there's not a one of us in this building that doesn't need a renewing of our mind so that we would not be conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed to being like you. Dear Lord, I pray especially for these that came forward this morning. I pray that you would do your work, that you would do a work that we cannot do and that they cannot do, but that you would help them to reboot their minds. Help them to think and to be reminded of those promises that you give us in the scriptures, that you will never leave us, nor will you forsake us, that there's nothing that can separate us from your love, neither life nor death, nor height nor depth, nor principalities of power of the heavens or the earth, nor that you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. That you will give us a new heart and put a right spirit within us. Lord, I pray that you would help them and me in those tough times of life to remember the promises you gave us. That we would think Jesus and that we would think positive. When we have the option of thinking only one thing at a time, help us to think Jesus. I pray that for this group here. And I pray that you would do a supernatural work in their life to make their minds focus on you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now, here's what I would say to you. We will offer our regular invitation this morning. That if God's spoken to you and there's something that Alex or Drew or myself can pray with you about, certainly we'll be here. If God has said to you, this is the church that God wants you to be a part of, this is a great day to join First Baptist Church and the ministries and the blessings that God's given us here. But I would also tell you this, the greatest reboot that happens in any of our minds is to give our lives to Jesus Christ. The scary part is we, in our common knowledge, talk about a lot of times that we give our heart to Jesus. I want to tell you that Jesus is not really interested in your heart or your mind. He's interested in all of you. It takes all the systems. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, I'm going to tell you, it's way easier to do life when you've given it to Jesus, because you can trust Him with it. If you would stand with me this morning, as our band comes up, let me lead you in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the fact that You love us each one more than any of us can imagine. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, or dear Lord, that there's somebody here this morning who does know You as Lord and Savior, but they're just not living life the way that You would design for them. I pray that today would be the day that they get back on track. I pray that they would be confident to know that You love them and that You forgive sin as far as the east is from the west, but that You do have a plan for them. Dear Lord, help us to be the people that You want us to be. Help us to be faithful. And dear Lord, for the person that You spoke to this morning, that You spoke to them about something we didn't even talk about, help them to be faithful this morning, to be obedient to You, and to follow Your leading in their life. Give them the courage. Give them the confidence. Give them the boldness to be faithful. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.